Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hello and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We're talking footy even though we're in between three seasons really, with the women to play before the men in February, March. But that doesn't mean we can stop talking about football. I'm Danae and I'm a docker. I'm joined by a crow.
Hello.
G'day, Beck.
Hello.
And a hawk. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, guys. How are we all?
Are you feeling better this week, Rachel?
Nope.
I listened to the therapy session last week and I was a bit worried about you.
No, I'm not, actually.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm glad I brought it up then.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Move on.
Yeah.
So the AFL trade period is over, it seems, and the fixtures are out tomorrow, which we seem to have more leaks than, I don't know, insert bad joke here.
A busted pipe.
Yeah. Thanks, Beck.
Wow.
Bad joke without warning.
Yeah, wow. I'm here all night.
So the fixture is out tomorrow, and we will talk about that a little. But I want to say that we are revving up tonight, Beck.
Brum, brum. Well done.
because we'll be chatting with V8 supercar driver Renee Gracie a little later on
Chicks Talking
Footy.
A change of pace. There's so many car metaphors.
That was fantastic. Yeah, that was an excellent pun.
I thought I had to come back from the leaky pipe.
Try the veal.
Yeah.
That was great.
Table six.
Okay. All the bad jokes will be the Crows tonight. And we will focus on the Crows because I want to talk about the women's team a little as well. But let's talk about our lists. So we talked a little bit about the AFLW lists and we're getting to know them over time. But let's focus on the men. And
that's what I like to do lots of time tonight.
Okay, Crow. it's going to be a very serious show tonight,
yeah.
I can tell. There's been some angst in my club. How are you going?
Well, we've had limited involvement, I had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Lyons went to the Gold Coast, which I was really upset about because I really like him.
Not for a holiday? He went
not
to
for a
change
holiday,
clubs.
No. Didn't just go to Mofi World.
Mm-hmm.
No. Changed clubs, which was really disappointing. But we didn't seem to actually get anyone in or make a lot of movement. There was all that Bryce Gibbs talk.
Yep.
And I was on board with the people's man bun.
Sure.
I was ready to accept him into my life. I'd done some soul searching, but then not to be.
His dad played in South Australia for a long time.
Well, so he should have been ours at the start.
Okay,
but anyway, that's
see,
another issue for another time.
You don't have to poke far, do you?
No, but
it's
we're going to get
another therapy session.
That's
tonight.
Right. We're going to get Barlow now.
Well, that's the great sadness for me. You might recall that I wrote a little bit about how I was feeling before the last women's exhibition game. And in I don't know how many hundred words, but not many, I did say to Michael Barlow, please don't leave, three times. So he left. And I wasn't surprised, but I am sad because he was, you know that overused phrase, club favourite?
Yeah.
We all loved him. We all loved him. So I think he'll be like Ryan Crowley, who when he came back to play his one game for Essendon and pulled a hamstring and had to walk the boundary at Subi Oval, got a standing ovation.
Never
from
seen anything like that.
It was beautiful. It was closure
think
for
I
us.
I said when Dangerfield the first time played the Crows, everyone sort of went, boo, oh, I don't really know if we mean it, but we felt like we should do it.
Yeah.
Whereas the Dockers, there was none of that.
No.
And, you know, maybe that says something about the club. I don't know.
Another club favourite. Well, yeah, maybe it does, but let's not get too deep.
Yeah, let's for another
they
time.
They still boo Burgoyne.
Who boos?
Oh, no, that's Port Adelaide.
Yeah, that's Port Adelaide.
Well, sorry. God, getting all the interstate teams confused. Sorry, guys.
Oh, we're all the same.
We're all the same.
Yeah.
Well, I think Fife as well. Carlton. and Hawthorn are looking at 5.
For next year, we're talking about a year away.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Just putting it out there because he's a club favourite too and an amazing player.
Well, that's a long, long stretch for Hawthorn. Don't you like to get deals done in like 2 days?
Ooh.
Okay, I deserve that after the whole non-Victorian thing.
That's right.
And the good news is there's only about 150 days until the men's competition starts again. So if you're feeling a little bit at loose ends.
I'm ready.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But before that, we get a fantastic women's competition.
I'm really pleased about that.
So tell us the Crow story.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited we have a club, so I've got someone to follow. Because I imagine it's hard, Rachel, if you don't have a club, what do you...
Well, exactly. No, actually spoke about this. We'll touch on it last week.
We all have clubs, but they don't have a women's team.
Yeah, that's true. So I this week bought my Adelaide Crows women's team foundation membership.
Good on you.
Which I was quite proud of. There's only 500 available.
Nice. Limited edition.
I think I get a key ring and a certificate.
Okay.
We should make trading cards.
We should actually.
Oh, well, I hope somebody is. I really hope somebody is. Because I've seen some great caricatures. I joined up last week too, Beck, as a Fremantle women's team supporter, and I don't know that I'm going to get the sort of gifts that I can exchange with you. We'll see.
Well, there seems to be a lot of gifts listed when I signed up, which is exciting. But I think it's important, you know, I think it's important to support it. But I've spent a lot of time going through the Crows players mm-hmm. to try and get a handle on them and pick out my favourites. I think my favourite at the moment is Erin Phillips.
Okay.
You might have heard of because she is a major basketballer. She's played in the WNBA, she's played in the Olympics, and more humorously, she comes from a serious Port Adelaide family.
Uh-huh.
So her coming to the Crows is brilliant. Her dad is a Port Adelaide legend, I think played for Collingwood as well. But the Phillips and the Crows have never seen eye to eye, much like it's like when the Corns boys went and played for Port Adelaide.
Mm. Yeah.
Very similar. So we finally got one back. So I'm very excited to watch her. She's played in the slowdowns a few times, which are like the EJ Witten Legends kind of equivalent.
In South Australia.
Yeah, but because she's been playing basketball overseas, she hasn't actually played professional competitive AFL since 2004.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and what does she play? Is she a ruck?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming she's like a nuggety little...
Midfielder.
She
could do whatever she likes,
she'd
I
do what
imagine.
She likes. She's got an Olympic medal.
And so how old is she? Do you know?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure.
Oh, we need Motti
on
the stats.
Yeah, Motti would have the stats. My other favourite Crow I've decided is Abby Holmes.
Of course.
A Northern Territorian. She's a lifelong Crows supporter, so I like that. You know when you always hear with the blokes, they get to play for the club that they've always supported. So I think that's nice. She played in the EJ Witten Legends match, I think, this year.
She
and
did.
A few years ago when Shane Crawford found her in Northern Territory and said, come and play.
Hanging around a netball court?
Yeah. And she's also been the boundary rider for the VFL this year.
I must say I haven't seen that, but I have seen her on Margaret. She's
and
fabulous.
She also presented Eddie Betts with the Goal of the Year award at the Brownlow this year.
Oh, nice.
She did too.
Yeah.
And because
she
kicked 100 goals in her
she
comp
did. Yeah.
like 3 years ago.
Yeah. So.
Fantastic.
Erin Phillips is 31. Youthful.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
She's got years.
There's hope for us, yes.
I know. We could play.
Well, for you, mate.
So they are my current top two Crow supporters.
And how many in the 145 draft? Player draft, how many did you take? About 8 or 11 or something like that?
I was going to say 10, so it's something like that. But I'm determined by the time that it starts, I'm going to know them all by number.
Yep. Yep, me too.
Yeah.
The remaining 3 players on the club's list will be available for free agency, and free agents are those players who have nominated for the draft but were not selected and may now consider options to play interstate.
Mm.
So free agents must be selected prior to October 31. So remember how the players had to nominate which state they'd play in? So if they haven't been picked now, they can play in Queensland or Western Australia or
wherever.
And, I mean,
wherever. This is probably a conversation itself, but, I mean, they're not getting paid enough anyway and now they have to move interstate.
Well, if you're studying or working, you know, I guess if you're studying at university, it's the first couple of months of the semester, so that's not a good time.
No.
You might defer for one semester.
But it's all complicated.
It is very complicated. Pay them more.
That's right.
So, Chelsea Randall, who's a Swan Districts player from WA, a Swan, and Kelly Gibson from Morfettville Park in South Australia are the two
marquee
Crows. So Morfettville Park came up a couple of times, Beck. What's the story there?
Yeah, Yeah, I don't actually know a lot about them. Morfettville's, it's near the race course, so that's important. But they have actually had a couple of players there. So I actually think that the women's competition in South Australia has been pretty strong. And also because it's the Northern Territory and South Australia together, that's kind of widened their field.
So exciting. There are a lot of Waratahs that are going to be playing. So I'm hoping that Adelaide and Fremantle will play a game.
Yes.
Maybe in Adelaide, so you and I can do our road trip earlier.
Excellent.
Drive to Adelaide and watch our teams play. Is there any particular clash that you're looking forward to, Rachel, as a Hawk? I know you don't have a team, but
I know. It is weird. It is weird because I really want to support the Women's League, but I can't have any sort of connection to a club at this point of time. Look, I'm just actually really just excited about women playing football on the main stage. I'm going to go to every single game I can.
You just hope football's the winner on the day.
Football's always the winner.
Except when it's doing stupid things. Yes, we will talk about our teams ad nauseum over the next few weeks, and we'll talk to some players and hopefully some coaches. Yes, that Michelle Cowan will talk to us on Chicks Talking Footy.
Why wouldn't she?
I don't know. But up next, we're going to be talking with Renee Gracie, who is a V8 supercar driver, on Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9 with Beck, Danae and Rachel. Our guest tonight is not from the footy world, but she is an amazing chick in sport, which is one of our focuses during the off-season. Renee Gracie is a V8 supercar driver competing in the 2016 Dunlop Series for Team Cowtex. Renee also contested the Bathurst 1000 this year with Simona Di Silvestro as the first female driving pair to contest a race since 1988. Renee, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. How does one start being a V8 supercar driver?
Yeah, it's a bit of a journey, I guess. Not the average sporter a female would choose. But it all started when I was go-karting at the age of 13. And it developed and eventuated into a career. And I was lucky enough to be given some opportunities. And along the way, I've developed a good team around me and a management crew that look after me. And now I'm here. So it's been a short 7 years, but an exciting one.
7 years. Oh, you're so young. So you're at the beginning of the sport. But as a woman in such a male-dominated sphere, it must be very exciting to be a pioneer.
Yeah, definitely. It's something I never thought about. Definitely never kind of pictured myself as a pioneer. It was something that I loved doing. And it wasn't really, it's not why I did it. I didn't want to do it because I wanted to be a role model or to lead the way or to be the first female to do all these things. It was something that just naturally came with it, and as I got older and could understand what I was doing, then it obviously, it had a reason for me to continue to do it, and I obviously realised I was a role model and people did look up to me, so I kind of had to mature and then I did take on that role. It was definitely never my intention, but it was something that obviously as it grew into a career and as I started carving away a little bit, it's something that I kind of took on board, and now I look back at it and, I'm so grateful that people look up to me, and I'm glad that I've kind of taken this path and I can give other females a bit of hope or a bit of direction or a bit of guidance if they need it.
And do you think there's more pressure on you as a woman in a male-dominated sport to be a role model as there is on the men to be role models?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think being a woman in sport, there's naturally a different role regardless of what sport it is. I definitely think, for footy, for example, the men who play footy, there's different expectations of them, and it's definitely the same for myself as well, and then again in motorsport on top of that. So it's something that I think we have our challenges, but it's not like any other person in any other sport. I mean, there's a lot of things that you challenge with along the way in your career. Some things come easy and some things don't necessarily come easy and some things don't come at all. So, it's tough as well because I'm all on my own. It's not like I have another team of girls around me who I can talk to and ask for advice. So that's probably the toughest thing as well, is that, when I am faced with challenges, it's not really like anyone has any understanding because I am the only girl out there. So it's not like I can go ask for advice because no one's actually been in the position that I've been in.
Is there camaraderie between you and the men in motorsport, or is it a bit that they're sort of one gang and you're out on your own?
No, I get along with everyone quite well. I've been lucky enough. I've been in this game for a little while now. You definitely have to earn your stripes and kind of get the respect from people. Unfortunately, it's such a tough sport to get into, especially motorsport, and there's money involved and sponsorship and everything. It's really hard to be taken seriously. So it's something that I've had to work towards. But, you know, now that I've been in a few teams and, you know, I've done Bathurst, you know, I've been around in the game for about 3-4 years now. So I've definitely got the respect and earned my stripes a little bit. So I don't even think about it now. I think everyone is friends. And obviously there's people that you're quite close with and you develop friendships and relationships along the way, and there's other people who, you know, I don't talk too much, or, you know, there could be in a rival team or whatever else. But yeah, there's definitely no, like, a lot of people think I probably, you know, it's, you know, guy versus girl kind of thing, but it's definitely not like that at all. And myself being young as well, there's a lot of older drivers who have lots of experience that, you know, are constantly, you know, willing to help, and they'll do anything to try and help out. They don't really see me as a direct competitor, probably because I am a female, which helps get some tips. But no,
use that to your advantage.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone's really great. And there's a lot of groups and there's lots of friendships within the sport, which makes it a really good sport. It's not like because we're all on different teams. Like, a lot of the guys go bike riding, and I train with a few of the guys. We all have the same trainer. So, yeah, it's a really good sport for that.
Well, and as you say, it's also about passion for the sport and for driving. So, you know, obviously you do face, as you say, a lot of challenges being younger and also female. And look, I don't mean to intimidate you here, but I have done a stunt driving course. So yes, I know a bit of stuff. Yes. But apart from those issues that we've just discussed, what has been the biggest challenge this year for you with your sport and racing? So was it Bathurst? What was it for you?
Look, the biggest challenge for myself, which is the day-to-day battle, is to be honest, is sponsorship. It's to find the funding.
Right.
All the on-track stuff, it's not easy, but it's probably the least stressful. You know, I love doing it. It's what comes naturally to me. It's my passion. It's you know, I strive and will do anything to be out on track. So, like, getting to the track is by far the hardest part. Motorsport is extremely expensive. Unfortunately, it's not getting any cheaper either. It's one of those things that, like, not a lot of people understand it. I mean, you look on TV and people see sponsors and they see stickers on the car, and they don't actually understand, you know, the effort that goes into getting a car to a race meeting and the expense. It's an enormous expense. So that's by far the hardest thing, and it's really simple. Like, if you're not doing well, you're not going to get sponsored. It's not like it's just a couple teams, like, in one, you're either going to win or you lose. It's there's 25, 26 people racing, and you can be first or you can be 26. So it's something that you've constantly got to be getting results, but you've also got to show yourself and what you're made of away from the track as well to get more value for money for your sponsors. So it's, yeah, by far the hardest thing and the biggest challenge, especially this year. It's been the toughest year for myself. I've lost more sponsors than I've got this year, which has been the first year that's ever happened. So it's, sponsorship and finding the budget and getting the funding is 100% the most stressful and hardest thing about motorsport.
Why does that happen that you lose sponsors, Renee?
It's just, so it's a lot of things. I lose sponsors because they, you know, they can no longer afford to, or that, you know, they have to, you know, something's happened in their business and, you know, they haven't made a profit, or especially with the bigger companies who I'm finding myself being sponsored by. And I'm so fortunate to have big brands like Harvey Norman and Fujitsu General and Caltech hop on board. But because they're so massive, they're humongous companies, and they have boards of directors and they have, you know, an Australian division, New Zealand, and, you know, Fujitsu, I was dealing with people over in Japan. That's how high up my sponsorship went. So it's if companies like that, for them to make money back, it's easy as dropping a sponsorship or not sponsoring, you know, TV ads. So that's why they do it. If they kind of need to save a bit of money, you know, they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on advertising each year, and it's the quickest way to save a huge amount of money because they don't have to advertise, but they do. And that's unfortunately, you know, in the last couple of years why I found myself not having certain sponsors or only having them for a certain period of time because they don't have as much success or they're not doing as well as what they had hoped for. And the quickest way for them to get, you know, a couple million dollars back into the business is to stop advertising, which is, you know, a few billboards and my racing sponsorship and a few TV ads. And it's a really easy way to make money back for them. And it's just how it is, unfortunately. Some people have good years and some people have bad years. So this year, I think, and obviously with how, you know, the economy is, it's a lot of people are struggling, more people having bad years than good years.
Gosh, yeah, look, I must admit I had... You're right. I just watched on television and see all the stickers on the car. I had no idea how difficult it was to gain that sort of sponsorship.
Yeah, absolutely. And Renee, what sort of support do you have aside from money in terms of practical support? Who's your team that's around you?
Yeah, so it's really important to have a good team around you. And all you need is one person to believe in you. And if that person can convince everyone else to believe in you, that's the biggest thing. For me this year, it's been a bit of a struggle. The team I've been with, my development series team, it's been a struggle. I haven't really gotten along with the people within the team. And it's really affected me mentally when I'm at the track. And it also affects me when I'm away from the track too, because I get down about it. So it's really important to be with people who you get along with. You know, being at the Bathurst 1000 and the guys who I work with at Nissan.
Yeah.
And the support for each other was, like, incredible.
That's fantastic. That's wonderful to hear.
And now, Renee, there was an incident last year where one of your fellow drivers was fined $25,000 for referring to you and Simona as the pussy wagon. What was the impact of that on you? And also, do you think there was an impact on other women entering the sport when comments like that are made by men in the sport?
Yeah, look, it's something that, to be honest, it didn't bother me. I've been doing this for a very long time. You know, I've been called a lot worse, trust me. This, to me, I did not find it offensive. It's not something that myself I find offensive. I understand that other people can find it offensive. You know, what I do and my job in motorsport is I'm constantly surrounded by men, and we all know what men can be like sometimes. And, you know, I have pretty thick skin, and I've developed a thick skin from a young age of 13. You know, I've had 13, 14-year-old boys, you know, call me all sorts of names when I was younger. So to me, it didn't affect me as much because, unfortunately, that is normal for me. It's what I'm involved in. It's the sport that I live in. And it's not something – if I took everything to offence, I obviously wouldn't be in this sport. It would, if I took everything personally, I just wouldn't be able to do it. So
I hope one day it's not normal for women in that sport. Yeah, but look, good on you, Renee. And look, it's fantastic to see such a talented athlete in a great sport.
Amazing. And look, thank you so much for chatting with us on Chicks Talking Footy tonight.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Renee.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Renee Gracie talking with the Crow and the Hawk. How did you feel about that and the normalising of that language?
It makes me angry.
Yeah.
But I understand why that's how, you know, that's probably what she's had to do to cope in that sport, but it doesn't make it okay.
Look, she's an elite athlete. Yeah. She's passionate about the sport. Clearly, you know, she's concentrating on being at the best at what she can be. And sadly, as she said, she's been, you know, called a lot worse, which is horrific to hear.
I read a report this week. I didn't read a report. I read a summary of a report. let's be honest.
I got through school and uni, so go on.
You're a lawyer, aren't you? No, I'll stop there. Nearly three quarters of British football fans have heard homophobic abuse at a match during the last 5 years, according to new research from the UK's leading LGBT equality charity, Stonewall. So three quarters of soccer goers in the UK have heard homophobic abuse. I wonder what the stat would be if we did that survey at AFL games.
Probably similar, I'd say. And look, often sexist also sort of behaviour also is quite often interlinked with that as well. So I'd say the statistics would just be...
It's interesting.
Very frightening.
And have you ever had to put up with that sort of stuff at a game?
Oh, look, you know what I think? The more time goes on, the better I'm getting at saying to people that's not okay. I've told people off at the football now because I think, you know what? Like, it's not okay.
It's not
and
acceptable.
Some people are just stupid and ignorant and they need to be things explained to them school. So that they don't go
need
on
to
being
be educated.
Stupid and ignorant.
Well, it is an environment where we can share our thoughts and our passions and hopefully a little, you know, inclusive behaviour. I guess that's why we're so proud of Matt Finnis, the CEO of St Kilda, being awarded the Straight Ally of the Year at the Globe Awards last week.
She's talking for his own, Matt Finnis.
And James Findlay, I think it was the Media Personality of the Year. I think that was the title, who was, of course, our programming director, but also our super duper executive producer of the Pride Game, OB. So I think we're two for two on that.
That's
one.
That's right. We've basically won awards, yeah.
We'll be back to win more awards and talk about football some more next Wednesday between 8:30 and 9. But you can check us out on any podcast at Chicks Talking Footy at the Joy website, or like us on Facebook, or send us a tweet. And thanks for listening. Thanks, Beck. Thanks, Rachel.
We'll also have next week the draw.
Oh, it's a fixture. It's not a draw.
I call it a draw.
Well, now that the men's comp will be finalised completely and utterly, surely we will be able to get to the women's.
I hope so. I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen and how it's going to work.
Am I having Good Friday football? Sorry, I know we're having a conversation about men and women's game at the same, time now.
That's okay.
But so we should.
Yes, absolutely.
So we should. Good Friday football.
So the Bulldogs and North Melbourne are playing Good Friday afternoon. And I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Contentious.
I personally don't have an issue with it. Don't tell my 13 years of Catholic schooling and my parents have paid the school fees for it. But don't listen, block your ears for this part. But look, you know, I think we live in a secular society, and you know, I don't know.
Well, then let's have marriage equality.
Yeah, let's. I mean, if we're having Good Friday football, let's have marriage equality.
Okay, let's talk about that and more next
week. Equality on Good Friday. All right, that's the dream.
Thanks, chicks.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.